Welcome back to another episode of Fig and Farm at Home. Hey, I'm Danny. I'm your host here, and I am so excited that you're here with me today. I say that every week, but every week it is true. I know that you have a million other things going on in your world. I know that you are busy. I know that you are juggling a lot and your plates are full. And so for you to choose to listen in, it means the world to me. And I want to hear what it is you love about the show. So if you haven't yet left a review, would you stop right now? Take 30 seconds and go over to Apple and leave a 5-star written review so that more mamas just like you can find the show and be inspired and empowered to create homes that they absolutely love. Because friend, I am on a mission to bridge the gap between the images we see on Pinterest and Instagram and the homes we actually have and how we can create homes that we are no longer embarrassed about. And I have a feeling there are more mamas who need to hear that message too. So leave a review. It allows my show to be seen. And I just want to thank you in advance from the bottom of my heart. It means so much. All right. Are you curious what we're going to talk about today? Now, I am recording this in May, and some of you are well into your spring, well into your summer, but up here in the Pacific Northwest, I'm just fluctuating between sweater day, and today was a great day. I got to wear shorts, but not always. But as I was taking a walk around my neighborhood, enjoying and soaking up the sun just a little bit, it got me thinking about how important our outdoors are as well as our indoors. And I know in just a couple weeks' time, when it really starts warming up, our family is going to be spending a whole lot of time outside. We are going to be eating out there. We're going to be sitting out there reading our books. I'm going to be doing some podcast recording out there. Everything shifts outside. But as I was walking, I wasn't visiting other people's backyards. I was walking by their front yards. And it got me thinking about curb appeal. Just as I was so excited to trade my jeans for some shorts today, our front yards need to shed a couple layers as well. Going from a heaviness that might be happening over the winter, a dormancy, and getting ready for the warmer months. But not just your front yard. Anything that you can see from the curb. And so today we are diving into 4 steps to creating massive curb appeal. And what you need to know now is that massive does not mean expensive. All right, friends, stick around. Enjoy today's show. We grew up with the phrase, home is where the heart is, but our culture has shifted and now the message is home should be Pinterest perfect. I'm calling BS on that message. Home. It's not about the stuff, it's about the story. And whether you know it or not, your home is a reflection of you and is already saying something. So what is it that you want it to say? Hey, I'm Danny, a former first grade teacher turned home decorator. Going from a dual income to a single income so I could stay home with my babies meant budget, like ramen eating, Goodwill shopping budget. And I learned a few things along the way, like how to bring big style to your home without breaking the bank. And I'm sharing it all with you. Tips, tricks, decor, and design advice so you can learn to tell your story with your style, where you can start living free from the Pinterest perfect trap and start living a life of intention. Welcome to Fig and Farm at Home, where we design happy living and where it doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. When we think about curb appeal, we think about first impressions, but I don't want you to just think about the impression you're going to be making for others when they come to your home. I want you to be thinking about how it makes you feel when you arrive home. You know, we spend so much time at Fig and Farm at Home talking about creating a home space that feels like a warm hug, like it is embracing you after the end of a long day. Your homes should feel like a respite. And that is true for sure. But it all starts from the outside. It doesn't just start the minute you turn the key and you open the door. It starts when you pull into the driveway. So as we go through our 4 steps, what I want you to think about is how this applies to you, because each person's curb, and I'm air quoting here, could be very different. You might not have a curb. You might have a long winding road that leads through a horse pasture. You might have a townhome. You might have a duplex, but you literally share a front stoop. Whatever it is for you, you have curb appeal. And that curb appeal is, we're going to just say, first impression. Of course, when you make that impression for you and you make that entrance, you bring the decorating out on the outside, you make that effort out there, it's going to be apparent to those who stop and visit. But remember, this is for you. So step one, I want you to think about your DWMs. Now, this is a very fancy business term called daily, weekly, monthlies. It's what happens on repeat over in our business. So for example, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because I'm not teaching you how to run a business, but what I am going to say is, what are the tasks that need to be done daily? What are the things that need to be done weekly? And what are the things that need to be done monthly? That's what I do in my business in order to run a podcast and in order to do all of the different things that make up my business. When I take that concept and I transfer it to outside, you might not have daily chores outside, but you definitely have weekly chores. So we're going to call these, instead of DWMs, we're going to call these WMYs. That's kind of a mouthful and it's a little awkward to say, but you get the idea. What are the things that happen repeat every week, every month, and every year? Now, you may have already gotten started on the yearly things. You may have already gotten started pressure washing or trimming the hedges or trimming back the hydrangeas. You may have already gotten started on sweeping down the cobwebs or things like that. And if you haven't, now is definitely a time to do that. Monthly tasks, of course, might be things like weeding. Maybe you are a monthly power washer. Not me. I do it yearly, if that. I should probably do it more because I do live here in the Northwest where we get a lot of moss. Maybe trimming hedges, maybe trimming the edge of your grass. That might be more of a monthly rather than a weekly. And then, of course, your weekly tasks. What are those? Those weekly tasks might include, of course, mowing the lawn, sweeping the front porch. And those are all commonplace. You guys have already thought about that. So keeping in mind that our WMYs, those are incredibly important in order for curb appeal to start happening. If you've got a hedge out of control, we need to take care of that. But now I want to think about what might happen on a bi-yearly basis, every 2 years, or tri-yearly, every 3 years, something like that. What are some of those big projects that could happen that might make a massive, drastic difference? So if you think about the wear and tear that happens in our homes in general, I know the older that my children get, the more wear I am seeing. I can see it in my kitchen cabinets. Now, if you've heard me say, I painted my kitchen cabinets. I've painted all of the cabinets in my home, except for my master bathroom that's coming. But my kitchen cabinets have definitely taken a beating, and they're going to need a little bit more TLC here pretty soon. And that's okay. But when we think about that happening on the indoor scale, when you go outdoors, that is amplified tenfold because all of the outdoor things are sitting in the elements. So what I want you to think about is I want you to pay attention to all of the little details that you might see when you're first stopping by your home. All of the little details that probably need a little bit of extra care, maybe even replacing, redoing, sprucing up. Things that came immediately to my mind were the lights, the outdoor light fixtures. Mine has definitely looked, it doesn't patina, so it's not that cool, but it definitely looks worn. That needs a fresh coat of paint. My front door, I painted that years ago, and it's definitely getting a little scratchy. It is time for a refresh. The handles take a beating. And painting handles might not be the best idea here, especially if it's exposed to the elements, but also because of the high traffic volume. So replacing that, if that is something that needs to be replaced, is a great idea. But now let's look at your fence. What is happening with your fence? Is it time to pressure wash? Is it time to just scrub down? Is it time to restain or repaint? Those are going to go a long way to enhancing your curb appeal. The second place we're going to pay attention to is our landing area. Now, just like some of us may have no curb or literally a curb leading up to our front door, some of us may not have a landing area. Our landing area may be as big as a front stoop, a stair, but your landing area is important, no matter how big or how small it is. Paying attention to the details here matter. So here's what I want you to first think about. We know that, of course, the purpose of this area is to enter your home. Yep, we got that. But what else? I know if I just have one step, the purpose literally is to enter. But if you have more than just a stairway into your home, you might have opportunity for imagining a different purpose for that landing. So I want you to think about all of the activities or the activity that you might do on your porch, whether it is small or big. Do you want it to be a place where you can get cozy and have a nap? Do you want it to be a place that you can take off your shoes and put your shoes before you enter the home? Do you want it to be a place where you can invite your friends over and have a cup of coffee in the morning? Is it just a spot that you are hanging out so that you can watch your kids play on the street? Is it a place where you are going to have the whole band get together and play your fiddles in summer evenings? What is it? And defining that is going to help you determine if the way that you are currently using it is adequate or if it needs to be changed. And today we're just going to talk about the change. So understanding your purpose is important. And then what? Your front porch, your front landing is an invitation. We know curb appeal, of course, from a bird's eye view when you're back across the street or down the lane looking at your home. That view is just as important. But that view is the view that you naturally take care of. These are your WMYs, right? Really awkward daily, weekly, monthly kind of thing that you naturally take care of. Mulching, trimming, mowing. You've got that in the bag. But this is intentional when you get closer to the home. And having that be a peekaboo at what is inside can be a really playful opportunity to showcase your style before you even open the front door. So here are the things that I want you to think about when you are refreshing your porch, no matter how big or how small. You already know that it's important to understand the purpose. So do you have the furniture that is necessary in order to meet that purpose? But then we're going to bring some of the same principles that we use inside, outside. So if you have a seating area, is that seating area anchored? And can you anchor it by using maybe an area rug? Here, just like inside, you're going to use layers. Going from the ground up, what do you see when you look at the floor? And then what do you see as you look at the ceiling? Remember that layers create depth, and depth allows your space to feel a little bit more full, and that fullness can help it feel a little bit more cozy. Now it's time to bring in the nuance. And I want you to think about the color palette that maybe you currently have out on your porch and the color palette we would see when we walk through your front door. Are these two in alignment? When I'm at your front porch and I'm looking there, will I see the same colors when I open your front door? This is an extension of the inside. And so if I have inside a color palette that is mostly neutrals and really light and airy and kind of sandy colors, mushroom colors, whites, beiges, but outside I have really vibrant turquoise, reds, yellows, oranges, those two are not necessarily compatible. Though fun, they're not necessarily compatible. That porch is a peekaboo as what's to come. Now, does that mean you can have no color? No, absolutely not. But you can play a little bit. But having a similar foundation and a similar color palette is a way to carry that fluidity throughout your home, even onto the front porch. Just like when we talk about you creating a room in your home and it being completely different, maybe in the bathroom as it is in the living room, and it can feel like an island in the bathroom when your designs aren't cohesive. The same thing can happen on your front porch. That experience can be a little bit jarring when you go from one space to the next, even if there's an outdoor. So having that cohesiveness, again, can happen through the color palette, through any metals that you're using inside. You can bring them outside, any anchoring pieces, any kind of design repetition. If you love stripes and you have stripes all throughout your home, do you have maybe a stripy pillow or a stripy rug or a stripy, I don't know, curtain or a stripy plant pot? Thinking about some of those elements that are more than just color is going to help create that cohesiveness the minute you open the door. And the third thing along that line is to allow this to be a space for you to share your personality. Where is the whimsy? Do you have any little pieces out here that are you taking a risk in your home decorating? I love playing on my front porch. I love playing with design on my front porch. It is, for some reason, it feels less permanent to me than inside of your home. And I feel like And it's oftentimes the places where I will experiment with design choices that I might not otherwise. So what do I mean by adding whimsy? Let's just take a couple examples here. If I have plants on my front porch, I might add whimsy by putting one in a birdcage. I might have Christmas lights, you know, on those little fun stakes that you put into maybe the ground around Christmas. You can put those into your plant pot and let those be your summertime ambient lighting out on your porch. Can you think of plant stakes to put inside of your plants that could kind of create an interest or an intrigue that you might not really expect? Like, for example, on my front porch, I've named my plant Arthur. And we know it because there is an old bike plate, a vintage bike plate that says Arthur on it. And I've literally staked it into the plant. So when you walk by, you think, oh, that's interesting. Or what about some of the stakes that sit inside of your plant? Like even a couple little pieces of fairy furniture. Yes, even playing like that. How fun and whimsical is that? It's unexpected. And it's not as big of a commitment when you play and add a little whimsy outside as inside. Whimsy can even mean bringing some of the design elements that you would normally think about for inside, outside, like an area rug. Of course, an area rug right there isn't necessarily whimsical by its very nature, but maybe the design of it could be. But what about art? Have you ever thought about bringing art to the outside? Of course, you want to be intentional and mindful of what kind it is so it doesn't get exposed to the weather. But what about plant pots? Do you have any pots that you can use outside that you would naturally normally see inside that might not have been or started as pots in the first place? Thinking a little bit outside of the box is really a fun way to decorate your front porch. Out here, you have permission to play a little bit, permission to experiment and try new things. And then the fourth thing that you can do in order to really boost your curb appeal, especially as you get closer to the home, is to minimize the amount of stuff that doesn't necessarily belong, aka declutter. Put out there what is meant to be out there, cleaning that space, really giving it a deep scrub. But lastly, execute. Do it. You're getting the ideas, you're getting the inspiration, and now it's time to do it so you can enjoy it, which is what I'm going to be doing today. All right, friends, I hope this inspires you to really be mindful of the way that your outside is a representation of your inside and how that can be a reflection of you out there as well. And remember, most importantly, you're doing it for you, not necessarily so you can keep up with the Joneses. That's never our goal. All right, friends, until next time. I'll see you soon.
Hey, real quick before you go, if you learned something new or found value in today's podcast, would you head over to iTunes to Fig and Farm at Home and leave a review and subscribe to the show? That would be awesome. And if you'd like to connect with my community of mamas who are learning to be intentional storytellers within their own homes, join us at bit.ly/design101group. There's always more room at the table. See you soon.